is a test run. I have to see if I could do the sugi with my high school shir. So we'll see if you guys will have to vote at the end if we could do the, if it's possible to do the sugi. My son voted no when I was learning this with him. He's like, you cannot. Your Talmid will hate you if you do the sugi. Okay. So with that introduction, I'm sure everyone's excited to learn now. So the parak starts out with, I don't know why I'm going backwards in the mission over here, but the first mission of the parak in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph tells us all the things that one gets malchus for, and toward the end of the Mishnah we're told that one gets malchus for eating tevel. So in that tevel discussion, we remember we had that machlokas tanaim, how much tevel do you have to eat in order to be chayav for? Is it a kezayis or even a chita achas because it's a beria? So that's what we discussed last week, what the gedar of a beria is and what the machlokas is all about, kira anasha, all the rest. Fine, so that was the beria discussion. But now let's just get to that word, tevel. What does that mean? That a person is in violation if he eats tevel. So in order to understand just a little bit of background, is in order. The sugya of tevel doesn't really come until right before the next Mishnah, on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. And today, mostly, we're just going to really read through the Gemara line by line and just make sure we get what the Gemara says. But the thought that should be in the back of our mind as we're analyzing the Gemara is the following. Just in terms of first basic definition. A person has produce that grows in his field. Let's say you have a field of, I don't know, what's your favorite produce? What? Cattle? Kale. No, I'm not going with kale. Let's go with wheat. You have wheat growing in your field. So a person has wheat growing in his field. And he harvests all the wheat, and he bundles it all up, and, you know, and he ties it in bundles and everything. And now harvests it all, it's all detached from the ground. He's got giant piles of wheat now lying out in the field. He hasn't bundled anything yet. Is that tevel? Is that produce tevel at this point? He's just got piles and piles in his field. So it's important to know some yesodos in his writing. That is not tevel yet. Something only becomes tevel once it's nigmar malachta. Once you finish processing it, you finish doing whatever you need to do, then it becomes tevel, and it becomes asr to eat. While it's still piled up in the field, eat it. You can eat it, it's fine. Midaraisa, eat as much as you want. Midarabanan, we only let you snack on it because, you know, the Rabbanan said that it's very similar to tevel. No chumas and maizes have been taken, so you shouldn't be having like a chilas keva from it. So midrabbanan, we only allow you to snack on it. But it's not tevel. If it was tevel, you're not allowed to snack on pig, right? If it was nisudar raisa, you wouldn't be allowed to snack on it. The fact that you're allowed to snack on it tells us that it's not tevel. When does it become tevel? When you finish processing all the grain. So now you took the piles, smoothed out the piles, you bundled everything up, whatever you have, everything, it's in the silo, it's in the house, it's for sure fully processed. Now you have all these bundles of grain. So let's make a nice round number. You have 100 bundles of grain. So now what do you have to do? So the halacha is you're not allowed to eat any of it. Once it's totally processed, you're not even allowed to snack on it. Why? Because it's tevel. You're not even allowed to eat a little bit of an iser. You're not even allowed to eat a little bit of pig. So if it's tevel, you're not allowed to eat any of it. Not even a snack. So what do you have to do in order to make all of this grain you worked so hard to grow and to process, to make it mutter to eat? What do you need to do? You need to give trumos and maisos. So what do you give to who? So the first thing you do is, well, what's the first thing? What? No, that's not to. What did you say to? To a kohen. So you're just off on the number. First thing you give is truma gedola. Truma gedola goes to a kohen, but it's not 10%. It's not necessarily 10%. The halacha midah raisa is truma gedola could be whatever number you want. Chita achas poteres is kol akri. You want to take a single stalk of wheat and give that? That covers everything. That's fine. You want to give everything but a single stalk of wheat? You just can't give it all to a kohen because you need shira and ikarim. You need to leave something over. But if you want to give everything but a single stalk of wheat or but a single bundle of wheat, you want to give 99 out of the 100 bundles to a kohen? Fine, that's truma. But the standard for truma is, the Mishnah says, if you're generous, 1/40, which would be 2.5 of the bundles out of 100. If you're stingy, 1/60, which is math I can't do, out of the 100, less than 2. And if you're of average generosity, 1/50th, which is 2 out of the 100. So let's say you're an average guy. So you give, most people like to be average when it comes to religion. They like to be above average when it comes to everything else, but they're perfectly happy being average when it comes to religion. People go and buy mezuzahs. How much are the mezuzahs? Well, the cheap one is 45, the middle level is 55, the expensive one is 65. Okay, I'm an average Jew, I'll take the 55. Right? Everyone's always happy being average. So you want to be average, so you give 2%. So what do? You give 2 bundles to the Kohen. Now you have taken Truma. Good. Now what's the next thing you do? What's the next step? Maisa Rishon, that's the 10%. Now you give 10% to a Levi. 10% of what's remaining of the 98, so 9.8 bundles you give to a Levi. Let's just call it 10. We'll round it off. So you give the Maisa Rishon to a Levi. What does the Levi do with that Maisa Rishon? He's got to give Trumas Maisa. He's got to give 10% of that to a Kohen. The Levi has to give 10% of that to a Kohen. Now there's a big, big difference between the Truma that you give to a Kohen and the Maisa Rishon that you give to a Levi. Once you give Truma to a Kohen, once you designate something as Truma, it becomes Aser Mida Oraisa for anyone but a Kohen to eat it. Even if you pay for it, even if the Kohen says it's okay, it's Aser Mida Oraisa. It's like Chazer Treif to you. It's Aser Mida Oraisa for anybody but a Kohen to eat it. And if you do eat it, you're Chayiv Misa Bidei Shemayim. So pretty heavy stuff. Chayiv Misa for eating Truma, for eating Truma. Maisa Rishon, there's no such halacha. You can eat as much Maisa Rishon as you want, provided that the Levi gives you permission. Meaning, the halacha of Maisa Rishon is that you got to give it to him. It's his money, so you got to give it to him. But there's no halacha that a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat it. So if the Levi wants to invite you over for a big wheat feast, and you're going to have bread and cakes and all sorts of stuff made out of wheat, an anti, like a gluten party or whatever, an anti-celiac party or something like that. So fine, you could do that and you could eat as much as you want. There's no isser for a czar to eat Maisa Rishon. There's an isser for a czar to eat Truma. It happens to be there's an isser for a czar to eat Bikurim, but that's a different story also. And Bikurim is sort of an interesting one because Bikurim is similar to Truma in many ways and similar to Maisa in many ways. That's what the Mishnah is discussed in the second part of Bikurim. But okay, that's Maisa Rishon. Then you have, after Maisa Rishon, so it depends on the year. If it's year 1, 2, 4, or 5, you have Maisa Sheni, that you don't give to anybody. You take it yourself, bring it to Jerusalem, and you eat it there. Now, very often, if you 10 bundles of wheat, let's say you have 1,000 bundles, so 100 of them are going to be Maisa Sheni. You're going to bring all that to Jerusalem? That's a big schlep to bring 100 bundles of wheat to Jerusalem to eat there. You don't want to do that. So what's your option? What's your other option during years 1, 2, 4, and 5, where it's a Maisa Sheni year? Oh, well, that's certainly an option. You can get it to Yerushalayim. If you can get it to Yerushalayim and have it eaten there, you certainly don't have to eat it yourself there. You can have other people eat it there, and that's fine. And if you bring it all there, when you're all the regel, and then you realize, wait, I'm only here for a week. I can't possibly eat it all 100 bundles of wheat in a single week. Leave it for the poor people there. They'll eat it. You know, as long as it gets eaten in Yerushalayim, that's fine. But let's say you can't transport it there. So is there any other option of what to do with it? You could change it for money. At a cost. You can change for money, but you have to be Mosif Chomesh. So if this wheat that you have is worth $1,000, you have to bring $1,250 of cash to Yerushalayim and use that on food in Yerushalayim. So go to really nice restaurants, buy a nice fat juicy animal or something, or let poor people have it and let them use it to buy food, or your friends and relatives in Yerushalayim to buy food. That money then has to be spent in Yerushalayim, but then all the produce that you had that was Maisa Sheni is no longer Maisa Sheni. Once you're poda it on money. However, here's the catch. You can be poda it on money so long as you never brought your stuff to Yerushalayim. The second you brought the stuff inside of Yerushalayim, the second it went into Yerushalayim, you can no longer exchange it for money. You now lost the rights to be poded for money. It's only a heter that we have to exchange it for money so long as the Maisa Sheni didn't enter Yerushalayim. Once it's entered Yerushalayim, it loses the ability to be niftes. It cannot be redeemed for money. You must eat it in Yerushalayim or have somebody eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, why did I say years 1, 2, 4, and 5? What happens in years 3 and 6? You give Maisur Ani instead of Maisur Sheni, right? You give that 10% to the poor people who could eat it wherever they want instead of Maisur Sheni. That is the basic outline of how Trumos and Maisros work. Now, the main issue that we're going to be dealing with, after we go through some of the details of this Gemara, the main issue we're going to be dealing with is, what exactly is the relationship between Truma and Tevel? Philosophically, how do we view the Isser of Tevel and the Isser of Truma? Again, Tevel is once the grain has been processed before you took anything. So all your 100 bushels of wheat are all Tevel until you take the Trumas and Maisos. Once you take the Trumas and Maisos, those that aren't Trumas and Maisos are now totally mutter for you. But before you take Trumas and Maisos, they're all Tevel. What do I mean, what's the relationship between Tevel and Truma? So what it means is as follows, and this is what Yosef Engel discusses in Asfan Dar Raisa Kol Beis, and he has many rais from throughout Chas. I think it's a fascinating sugya, but he discusses the following. Should we view the Isser for a non-Kohen to eat Truma as a simple continuation of the Isser Tevel? Meaning, before I took Truma from Maestros, all of my grain was Tevel. Now that I took Truma, maybe the way to view it is, now that I took Truma, the rest of my grain became mutter, but the part that's Truma kept that Isser. That same Isser Tevel that existed on all of my grain before I gave Truma, what happens when I give Truma, maybe, is that the Isser of Tevel stays on that grain that I designate as Truma, but the Isser of Tevel goes away from the rest of my grain. And that's why it's Asr for a non-going to eat Truma. It's that the Isser for a Zar to eat Truma is an Isser Tevel on the Zar. A Kohen, it becomes mutter for some reason. That's the way the Torah determined it. But it remains an Isser Tevel for the Zar. Or do we say no? The more simple way of looking at it. What's the more simple way of looking at it? There was an Isser Tevel. Once I designate Truma and Meiser, it's no longer Tevel. Tevel is gone. There's a new Isser now. It's a new show in town. It's not the same Isser. It's a brand new Isser called Truma. But that's a totally different Isser than the Isser of Tevel. So the thing Rav Yosef Engel discusses, and what we have to think about as we go through the sugya, how related is the Isser of Truma to the Isser of Tevel? How much do we view the Isser of Truma to be a continuation of the Isser of Tevel that existed the whole time? And how much do we assume that, no, the Isser of Tevel goes away as soon as you mafresh Truma's Maestros, and the Isser of Truma is a brand new Isser? That's one way to look at it. Meaning that's one issue to analyze. You could also view it from the reverse perspective. Maybe there's no such thing as an Isser Tevel, really. You know why Tevel is Isser? You know why you're not allowed to eat Tevel? Maybe you could argue is that fundamentally, there's only one Isser, and that's called an Isser Truma. You know why you can't eat Tevel? Because in your 100 bushels of wheat, you know what you have mixed in there? Somewhere, at some point? Truma. Because you have to designate some of this as Truma. So maybe the whole Isser of Tevel is really purely a function of the Isser Truma. And the reason you're not allowed to eat Tevel is because of the Truma Hamu'urav Bo. Because of the Truma that's mixed in. And that's the whole reason that Tevel would be Asr. But not that it's its own independent Isser. It's Asr because there's Truma mixed in with all this wheat. So really there are three ways of looking at it. You could look at it that there are two Isserim. There's Tevel, there's Truma, Lo Karav Zelzeh. They have nothing to do with each other. They're just two totally separate Isurim for two totally different stages. Or you could say, no. It starts as an Isser Tevel. So fundamentally, the whole Isser is an Isser Tevel. And when you're Mafresh Truma, the Isser Tevel goes away from most of your produce, but that Isser Tevel remains on anyone who's not a Kohen on the Truma. For anybody who's not a Kohen, that Isser Tevel remains on the Truma. And maybe even intensifies. But it's a continuation of the same Isser. The third way of looking at it is that fundamentally there's not even such a thing called an Isser Tevel. The real Isser is an Isser of a Zar to eat Truma. A non-Kohen cannot eat Truma. It's not yours. It belongs to a Kohen and it's too Kadosh for us. We're not allowed to eat Truma. Truma has Kedusha. A non-Kohen is not allowed to eat it. You know why you're not allowed to eat Tevel? Because Tevel, by definition, has some Truma mixed in. That's a third way of looking at it. So as we go through each sugya, whenever you learn a sugya that discusses Tevel and Truma and how the two relate to each other, try to keep in the back of your mind. It's a fascinating thing to do. Rav Yosef Engel clearly did that, and that's how he came out with like 10 pages of discussion on it with rayas from all over Shas, Kedarko Bekodesh. But try to keep in the back of your mind, what's this Gemara assuming about the Isra of Tevel, the Isra of Truma, and their relationship to each other? For example, there are many halachos that may apply to one and not to the other, to Tevel and not to Truma. For example, well, on the most fundamental level, Tevel is asur even for a Kohen. If the whole Isra of Tevel were only because there's Truma mixed in there, that's a major kasha. Why is a Kohen not allowed to eat Tevel? He should be allowed to eat Tevel. Truma is mutter for a Kohen. It's only usher for a Zar. Why is that okay? If Truma is just a continuation of the Isra of Tevel, then why does it become mutter for a Kohen? Kohen's not allowed to eat Tevel. The halach is, what if Truma becomes Tameh? What if Truma becomes Tameh? Halacha is, no one's allowed to eat it then. Not even a Kohen. It's, you have to burn it. What if Tevel becomes Tameh? So, you can't eat it because it's Tevel. And no one ever was allowed to eat it, even when it was Tahar. Do you have to burn it though? Do you have to burn Tevel that became Tameh? There's no mitzvah of burning Tevel that became Tameh. So why is that? If the two Isurim are related to each other, so maybe why do these halachos not overlap? So these are the kinds of issues that come up whenever we do a sugya that relates Tevel to Truma. Now, given that background, I want to spend the rest of the morning going through just the Gemara, Yatesan based Chaf Amin Aleph. Maybe we'll see tomorrow. I printed out today, but the printer was broken. Some basic Rishonim and basic Achronim on the Gemara, and then we'll get to what Rav Yosef Engel has to say about this as well.
Did you say the third approach again?
The third approach is that fundamentally there is no Isser called Tevel. The whole Isser is an Isser Truma. But why aren't you allowed to eat Tevel? Because in your Tevel, there's Truma in there. There's Truma mixed in. So that's why you're not allowed to eat Tevel. One nafkamina might be, what if you already took trumas but you didn't take maestros? You took trumas, you just didn't take maestrisha. So is that still called tevel? If you took trumas, you just didn't take maestrisha? So the halacha is that it is tevel. It's tevel or tevel maestro, but why? If you assume that the whole list of tevel is only because there's truma in there, well, there's no Truma in here. There's only Meiser in here. Meiser is Zara's allowed to eat, and Uncle is allowed to eat Meiser. So why would it be Tevel? So maybe it's because there's Meiser Rishon in there, and what's in Meiser Rishon? Every Levi, when he gets his Meiser Rishon, first thing he's got to do is turn around and Truma's Meiser. So there is Truma in there. Because Truma's Meiser is Truma. There's second level Truma in there. So how do we lumdesize the Isra of Tevel if you already gave Truma? Is it mitam, the Truma's Meiser Shabo? Or is the Isra of Tevel simply you didn't do all the mitzvahs you have to do with this? And the mitzvahs you have to do involve Trumas and Meisros. So you didn't give Meisros, so you didn't do all the mitzvahs that you were supposed to do. Before we do the Gemara, there's maybe one more Ha'ara. We've pointed this out many times. The Tosfos Ritam Maseches Kiddushin points this out, and the Nodbi Yehuda thought he was mechavin to this. He thought he discovered America when he thought of this chiddush. He said, "No one lo kidam ni adam eolam. No one ever put it in this way. No one ever said it. It's not the Nodbi Yehuda's fault. The Tosfos Ritam wasn't printed yet. He didn't have a Tosfos Ritam. But how we know the Nodbi Yehuda was right about this? Rishonim said it. It's in the Tosfos Ritam also. The chiddush as follows." There's a stira, seeming stira, between two Mishnayos. On the one hand, the Mishnah says that chita achas poteres is kala kri, like I mentioned before. You can give a single stalk of wheat and that will pater, that's truma for your whole silo. That's good for your whole silo. On the other hand, the Mishnah says that when you give kohen truma, you need to give him kedei nesina. You need to give him a reasonable amount. You need to give him something that's a chashuv thing, something that's worthy of giving someone. So if you give someone as a gift, you give him a single stalk of wheat, so that's not very appreciated. That's not really worthy of anything. So it's a stira, no? So says the Nodbid and Tosrid, not a stira. The very brisker approach, they say, it's tzvei dinim. There it's tzvei dinim in truma. There's a mitzvah of hafrashas truma, and there's a mitzvah of nesinas truma. The mitzvah of hafrashas truma is take a section of your produce and designate that this produce is now truma. There doesn't have to be a kohen there. You didn't have to give it to anybody yet. You designated this section is truma. That you could do with even a chita achas. What does that accomplish? You haven't given it to a kohen yet. What did you accomplish? Well, what that accomplishes is it makes everything else no longer tevel. You could remove the Isser Tevel simply by doing Hafrashas Truma. Then there's an additional mitzvah of Nesinas Truma, that you actually have to give the Truma to the Kohen. How much do you give? A Kedei Nesina. Make sure you give not just a Chita Achas, a reasonable amount. So you may want to wait for multiple Hafrashos until you give one nesina, because you need it to pile up till you can give a reasonable amount for a nesina. The nesina shum is a dine mamonis. It belongs to the kohen, so you're not allowed to keep it. You got to give it to him. The afrasha is iser v'heter. Your stuff is tevel until you're mafresh. So that's why you need to be mafresh, so that it won't be tevel. So now, against all of that backdrop, knowing what we now know about truma and about tevel and about what the three-sided potential lumdus is of the relationship between Truma and Tevel. Let's take a look three lines into the wide lines on Daf Yutes Amud Beis. And again, as I mentioned, we're not exactly going in order because this is just I hold we're still by the Mishnah. We're still holding on Yigim Lamanav. We're just learning this whole Gemara, you know, within the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meiser Sheni Meim Asai Chayavin Lav. When is one Chayiv for Meiser Sheni? What does it mean, when is one Chayiv for Meiser Sheni? It means, at what point can you no longer be Poda Meiser Sheni? At what point do you have to eat Meiser Sheni? Can you no longer exchange it for money? Mishara Pneachama, as soon as it sees the inside of the walls of Jerusalem. Once Meiser Sheni has gotten into Yerushalayim, that's it, too late, you can't be Poda. My time, huh? Domer Kral, Lefnei Hashem El Kachatochlanu. Pasuk says you're supposed to eat it, Lefnei Hashem. Where is Lefnei Hashem? Depends on the context. Sometimes Lefnei Hashem means the Kodesh HaKadashim. Sometimes it means the Beis HaMikdash. Sometimes it means Har Bais. And sometimes it means Yerushalayim. So over here it means Yerushalayim. So Lefnei Hashem, Yerushalayim. Uksiv lo sucha lechel b'sharecha. And it says you're not allowed to eat it b'sharecha. Where's b'sharecha? Where you live, outside of Yerushalayim. No one lives in the old city. Well, now some people do, but, you know, it's not so common to live in the old city. Real estate's kind of expensive there. So you live outside of Yerushalayim. You live nowhere near the old city, as far, you know, Rechavia. It's very spiritually far from the old city. So that's, you're not allowed to eat, your Meiser Sheni in Rechavia. Wherever we say that you have to eat, you have to eat Meiser Sheni, that's when we're going to apply L'sucha Lechel B'Sharecha. Meaning, once that Meiser Sheni has been inside the old city, you can no longer eat it outside the old city. Now, what it's suggesting is that eating it outside the old city before it ever went to the old city, that's okay. It's only once, it only becomes Meiser Sheni. It's a phenomenal chiddush. It only becomes Meiser Sheni once it makes it into the old city. Prior to entering the old city, it's not yet Meiser Sheni. So you're not chayiv for eating it outside of the old city until it's once been in the old city. Once it's been in the old city, then you take it out. Now you're chayiv for eating Meiser Sheni. Whenever it has not yet been in the old city, it's not a violation of eating it outside of the old city. That's the chiddush of Rav Asi Yom Rav Yochanan. Meisvei, so asked the Gemara, Rav Yossi Yomer. Rav Yossi says the following. Kohen shall also be yodo te'ena shal tevel. You have a Kohen that has a single fig of tevel. He's a Kohen though. So remember, a Kohen is allowed to eat truma. But he's not allowed to eat. What's a Kohen not allowed to eat? Tevel. So he's got this fig of tevel. Is a Kohen allowed to eat Maaser Rishon? Yes, everyone's allowed to eat Maaser Rishon. You just have a Dinei Mamonos thing that you got to give it to a Levi, but everyone's allowed to eat it. So he's got this one fig of tevel. It's also for him to eat now because it's tevel. If he could just turn it into truma and Maaser Rishon and chulin, all three of those things are mutter for him to eat. He's just not allowed to eat tevel. Well, then why is he not allowed to eat tevel? Okay, that's, again, in the back of our minds, we're still thinking, but isn't tevel just a problem because it's got truma mixed in there? So why is he not allowed to eat? Okay, something to think about, yeah? Right, he has it, so the Mafresh Trumos.
Like says, okay, now this is
So Hafrashas Truma does not always have to be a physical Hafrasha where you cut off a piece and say this is Truma.
I'm saying he doesn't need to do that because he's coming to eat it all. So he just says, this is this. Okay, now I can eat it.
So says the Bryce. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kohen shall also be able to tein shel tevel. Omar says, Te'inazu, this fig. Trumasa bu'ukta. You see that little part near the stem? That's where the truma is on this fig. He just has to identify where the truma is. He's not being mafresh anything. Maaser Rishon b'tzvona. The northern side of this fig is Maaser Rishon. I don't know why the north specifically, you know, why we went with the stem for truma and the north for, like, it would seem more, you know, to fit better to just go north-south rather than stem north. I don't know, but okay. The Maaser Rishon is in the north. Maaser Sheni Lidroma. We do go north-south for the Maaser Sheni. The Maaser Sheni is in the south. Vihishnas Maaser Sheni, and it happens to be a Maaser Sheni year. Now we know what that means. What does it mean a Maaser Sheni year? It's either year 1, 2, 4, or 5. Vuhu b'Yerushalayim, and he's already in Yerushalayim. Because if he's not in Yerushalayim, what problems is he going to have? Maaser Sheni. Can't he Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim? So he's in Yerushalayim. Oh, Maaser Ani, Vuhu b'Gvulin, or maybe it's a Maaser Ani year, and he's even outside of Yerushalayim. Achla, and then he eats it, loka achas. He gets one malchus. Why does he get one malchus? It's tevel. What? It's not tevel. He just declared truma. Says Rashi. Yeah, but no one ever gave trumas meiser from the meiser rishon. So that's tevel. Yeah. Vizar sha'achla, what if a non-Kohen eats it? Lo keshtayim, he gets two malkios. Why two malkios for the non-Kohen? Truma and tevel. He's got the same tevel issur that the Kohen has, plus he's not allowed to eat the truma part of it. Wait a second. Keep in the back of your mind. If tevel and truma are on any level whatsoever the same issur, can you get two malkios for the same issur? Okay, so something to think about. Lokeshtai gets two malkios over here. She'ilu b'tchila achleinu lokelachas. Now it's funny. For the non-Kohen, he would have been better off just keeping the whole thing as tevel. Right? For the non-Kohen, by saying the truma's by the stem and the Maaser Rishon is here, the Maaser Sheni's there, now when he eats it, he's got tevel of truma's Maaser, and he's got an issur of truma. Had he just left it as tevel, he only would have gotten one malkios. So for the non-Kohen, it was not to his advantage to do this. But what do we see? The reason that the Kohen is only going to get one Malkus over here is because where is the Kohen eating this? In Yerushalayim. What if he were outside of Yerushalayim? The implication is if he were outside of Yerushalayim, he'd be getting two Malkios. Why two? Maaser Sheni. Oh wait, didn't Rabbi Yochanan just teach us that there's no Isra of Maaser Sheni even outside of Yerushalayim until the fruit has at least once been in Yerushalayim? So that's the Gemara's Kasha. So we'll see. So time of Yisei B'Yerushalayim. The whole reason is that the coin's only getting one and the Tzar is only getting two Malkios is because he's in Yerushalayim. Habigvulin, but had he been outside of Yerushalayim, Lokesholosh, you'd get Malkos from Isasheni also. Even though he never went into Yerushalayim. So says Gemara, no. Who says he never went into Yerushalayim? We're talking about a case. Da'ili va'afki. Exactly what Eli just said. We're talking about a case. It went into Yerushalayim and was brought outside Yerushalayim. That's why you would get the extra Malkos if you're outside Yerushalayim. Frankly, Gemara, ihachi ma'ile me'emra. Then what's the great chiddush over here? So says Gemara, ha'chamai eskin, and gon da'ilinu b'tivlayhu. Okay, here's where it gets back to our discussion. Maybe you brought it into Yerushalayim, but you didn't bring it into Yerushalayim as Ma'aser Sheni. You brought it into Yerushalayim while it was still Tevel. Then you brought it outside of Yerushalayim. Then outside of Yerushalayim, you look at this figure and you say, okay, the Truma is by the stem, the Ma'aser Rishon is in the north, the Ma'aser Sheni is in the south. But it went into and out of Yerushalayim while it was still Tevel. Is that called that the Ma'aser Sheni made it into Yerushalayim? This will relate to how much we relate Tevel to the Isurim that are in it, meaning to things that will ultimately be taken from it, the Truma and the Meiser and the Meiser Sheni. How much do we view Tevel as an independent entity? And how much do we view Tevel as a combination of Chulin and Truma and Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni all mixed together? You brought Tevel into Yerushalayim. You never brought Ma'aser Sheni into Yerushalayim. You brought Tevel into Yerushalayim. You brought it out. The Kasavar, we're making the assumption, Matano Shelo Hurmu Kamisha Hurmu Damyon, that when you bring Tevel into Yerushalayim, it's as if you brought Ma'aser Sheni into Yerushalayim and Truma into Yerushalayim and Ma'aser Rishon into Yerushalayim. It's as if you brought everything that will one day be Hufrash from that Tevel into Yerushalayim as well. When you bring Tevel into Yerushalayim, it's as if you bring everything that will one day be Hufrash from there. And that is a very great chiddush. It's a very great chiddush for the following reason. If I have 1,000 raisins, I don't know why I said raisins. For whatever reason, I'm thinking raisins. 1,000 raisins. And I want to be Mafrish Truma. What do I do? Do I cut off 2% of each raisin? 1,000 figs. Take a fig. That's what the Gemara said. Do I cut off 2% of each fig for Truma and 10% of each fig for Ma'aser Rishon and 10% of each fig for Ma'aser Sheni? No. What do? If you have 100 figs, you give 2 to Truma. So the one fig that you brought into Yerushalayim while it was Tevel may never have any Truma or any Ma'aser Sheni or any Ma'aser Rishon, any of that in this fig. But nevertheless, when something is Tevel, we view all Tevel as if it is an evenly dispersed mixture of Truma, Ma'aser Rishon, Ma'aser Sheni. V'sav Rabbi Yossi, Matan Shalahum, or Kamish, or Medami. So says Gemara, really? Is that where Rabbi Yossi holds? That we view Tevel as if it's got Truma in there, and Ma'aser Rishon, and Ma'aser Sheni in there? V'atanya, but we have a Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yudom, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, lo nechuku v'sham v'shila al peru shalo nigmar amalachtan. Now this should be a little more meaningful to us. What does it mean, perushalo nigmar malachtan? What's another way of saying perushalo nigmar malachtan? Unprocessed produce. What's that halachically called? No. Lo nigmar malachtan is even before it was ever tevel. Right? If you bring perus that don't even have a gemar malacha, aren't even tevel yet, into Yerushalayim, and you bring it out of Yerushalayim, so we're saying, over here we're saying not that way. We're saying, if it's not even Tevel yet, normally once you brought fruit into Yerushalayim, you lost all chances of being podid. Right? Once you bring Ma'aser Sheni into Yerushalayim, you lost all chances of being podid. Maybe even if you bring Tevel into Yerushalayim, you lost all chance of being podid, of redeeming it for money. What if you bring something that's pre-Tevel? It's not even Tevel yet. It's lo nigrum lachtan. Sheyifte Ma'aser Sheni shalan v'yochal b'chal makom. That's fine. When you then subsequently later take Ma'aser Sheni from it, you're still allowed to be podit, because the Ma'aser Sheni was never in Yerushalayim. The fruit was in Yerushalayim in its pre-Tevel state. So again, what does that tell you about Tevel? that on some level we view Tevel like there's Meiser Sheni in there. Pre-Tevel? No, it's not Meiser Sheni in there. It's just pre-Tevel produce. Valma nechluku, where do they have machlokas al perish nigum ramlachtan? When you have perish nigum ramlachtan, which is a fancy way of saying peros that are already Tevel. Vavri b'Yerushalayim, and you bring those fruits into Yerushalayim. Shebeishami yomim yachzir meiser sheni shalem v'yochol b'Yerushalayim. Beishami says, this is viewed as meiser sheni that's already been in Yerushalayim, and therefore you cannot be poda it outside of Yerushalayim. Ubeisil lor mifada v'yochol b'chol makom. Beisil says, nah, it was only in Yerushalayim while it was tevel. It wasn't in Yerushalayim as meiser sheni. V'yisalka daitu matan shalahurmu. K'mishor mudamyan. But if you hold that we view Tevel as being Truma and Meiser Sheni and everything, then how come Beis Hillel says that you're allowed to eat it wherever you want to eat it? As Tevel, it's been in Yerushalayim, Makaltu Mechitzot, it's been in the Mechitzot of Yerushalayim. So this whole discussion, that whole discussion has to ring in our minds. What's the relationship between Tevel and Truma? Tevel and Meiser Sheni. So parenthetically, the Gemara just answers, Amarabba Mechitza Lechol Daraisa, Mechitza Liklot Darabana. The fact that you're only allowed to eat Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, that's a Din Daraisa. The fact that you can no longer be Poda Meiser Sheni once you bring it to Yerushalayim, that's only a Din Darabana. The Rabbanan are only going to make that gezerah if it was brought into Yerushalayim as Meiser Sheni. But Betivle lo gazer Rabbanan. They didn't make such a gezerah while it's still Tevel. But the bottom line is, we're saying, even according to the Beis Hillel, for Dinim da'oraisa, we view Tevel as being Meiser Sheni being in there. Ravina Amar Kigon Denakala Bekanya. Ravina says, no, we're not talking about where it was ever actually brought in Yerushalayim. We're talking about a case where you were in Yerushalayim, but you were holding it on the end of a stick, and the stick was sticking outside of Yerushalayim. So is that called that it ever came into Yerushalayim? That's not called that it went into Yerushalayim. V'tifshut Baya Rav Papa, and that answers Rav Papa's Baya, which we didn't read today, but is right before where we started reading, where he asked what the status is of fruit at the end of a stick, where you're in Yerushalayim and the fruit at the end of the stick is outside of Yerushalayim. That is the basic sugya. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start a little bit with Rishonim, give you a ritva and Aruch Menor to take a look at, and then we'll start looking at what Rav Yosef Engel has to say.